Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Struggling with erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Cialis for Men 10mg film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, is now available without prescription. Just a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist, in person or online, can help. Find it at pharmacies nationwide or visit www.cialisformen.ie for more details. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label. Go Loud.
Back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is proudly sponsored by Cialis for Men, helping you get and keep an erection whenever you need it. If the idea of walking into a pharmacy makes you feel a bit awkward, don't sweat it. Pharmacists have heard it all before. Nearly 3 in 10 men have dealt with ED at some point, so you're far from alone. Just have a quick, quiet chat, grab what you need, and walk out with your head held high. Figuratively, of course. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity, contains tadalafil. Always read the label. Guys, what's going on? How are you doing? How are you getting on? Thank you all for tuning in to the Weekly Roast and for all of the lovely messages about the show last week. My friends, if you're new to the show, let me just sell it to you very quickly, okay? Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is effectively, as I keep bloody saying, Ireland's confession box. Every single week on a Sunday, I put up a question box on my Instagram at Megan Mark. We choose a subject or an aspect of Irish culture and we roast it. The listener, aka you, contributes your own stories, your own anecdotes, your own memories. It's a sort of cathartic way of processing pain as well. We take your contributions, we distort your voices. We give you the anonymity that you so sorely need in order to speak freely. So you're very welcome. Now, I have a bit of news, guys, okay? After more jigs than the lower deck of the Titanic and more reels than a South Dubliner who has discovered high rocks, we are finally introducing guests to Mark Megan's Weekly Roast podcast. And not only that, without building up suspense and, you know, spending 7 or 8 weeks of lying to you and saying next week it's going to happen, next week it's going to happen, today I have some good news for you. Actually, I have two bits of good news for you. The first bit of good news is that apparently Line of Duty is coming back for a new season. All of the cast have signed on. Not to be confused with the new season of Love Hate, which John Connors is hoping will happen to prevent him from having to continue signing on. Nevertheless, today we have a guest. His name will not be revealed until the end of the show, so we will call him Mystery Michael. Welcome to the show, Mystery Michael.
Thank you very much.
How are you getting on?
Great.
It's good to have you with us. Guys, it's the roast of compulsive liars. God loves a trier, God loves a liar. Some of you have all had your pants on fire. Look, I am reluctant to make fun of some of the lies that came through Instagram yesterday, okay? And at the end of the day, compassion is at the core of all progress. Be it in relationships, art, design, or education, compassion is the superpower, okay? So we should try and understand where these chronic fib tellers are coming from. However, some of the lies that came in yesterday. Good God. Before we get into the show, we just have to recall the fact that some woman said she knew a girl who pretended to be pregnant for so long and then pretended to follow through with the birth only to send them a picture of a football with cabbage as hair. It didn't happen. The lie didn't happen. The birth didn't happen. The football didn't happen. None of it happened. Nevertheless, We're at the roast. It's the roast of compulsive liars. Let's get into it. I'm here with Mystery Mick. He is he's not a mattress salesman. He is, ironically, would you believe, a bag salesman.
A bag salesman.
Yeah. But he's in recovery, so not that sort. He sells handbags, would you believe. Callow is his brand. He's a very good guy and very good friend of mine. He is a bloody great person. Mystery Mick, you are truly welcome. And to everybody else for your support over the last months. Honestly, I'm so grateful. And to everybody on Instagram who's joining the Q&As, thank you so much. You are the light of my life. Aside from Darren, Bertie, my immediate family, friends from school, my therapist, the one I see on Tuesdays. Let's go. Let's get into the show. Oniva.
Hi, Mark. So basically, my granny passed away. She had a large family. She had 9 girls and 4 boys. So anyways, when she died and stuff, you know, obviously she went to like the local funeral home and they looked after her and, you know, everyone said, oh, she looked lovely. She looked just like herself. And then when it was all over, someone said, God, they did a really nice job of like her makeup and her hair. It looked really like her, you know. And one of my aunts turned around and said, oh, no, your cousin did that. And we were like, what? Like, now to fear, my cousin is a hairdresser. But, like, she never did my granny's hair when she was alive. So we thought it was a bit strange that she would have done it after she had died. And they weren't that close. So the funeral directors own a local pub and restaurant in our village. So my mum was over for dinner with her friend. And the funeral director himself was actually serving mum dinner. And it was weighing on mum's mind. And she was like, look, I just have to ask, you know, like, who did mammy's makeup? It looked really nice on her hair. Was it my niece? And he was like, no, it was myself and my funeral director partner. So my aunt just blatantly lied for no reason and a bit strange. But anyways.
Straight off the bat, a lot to unpack there. Firstly, the funeral directors seem to have a complete monopoly on commerce in that local village between running the funeral directors, the pub and the supermarket. Number two, what do you make of the paint job? Surely nobody asks that about deceased. What do you make? Be more conventionally inappropriate if you're at a funeral. Ask about the will. Ask about if the son from Canada has a leg in the gaff. You know, that's the sort of, don't be asking who did the paint job. And let's be honest, they never actually looked at, oh yeah, oh, she's very herself, isn't she? She looks like a candle. Do you know what I mean? She's yellow and wax-like. They never actually look. Also, what a weird flex to take, like, to boast about putting makeup on the... It's not your classic MUA flex, like, is it? Do you know what I mean? What was she expecting people to say? Oh, brilliant. Oh, who did the... Guys, could we... Who did the makeup on Miriam? It was Tina. You should have done an Instagram Live. Do you know what I mean? Hey, guys. Thanks for... Oh, thanks for tuning in. So I'll just wait till everybody joins here. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, just here now in O'Brien's funeral home. Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining, I'll just wait till another few minutes. Hope you're well. So, okay, here we are. We'll get started. I'm here in Brown's funeral home. And today, instead of doing makeup on a bridesmaid and then filming her do the 1,000-yard stare, I'm going to give my granny a real glow up before she meets St. Peter at the pearly gates. Now, for heaven, okay, I would always start with a thick concealer. We're going to have to layer more, like, obviously SPF because, you know, with the afterlife, you're just that bit closer to the sun. And obviously, if there's one thing Jesus and the angels don't like, it's a sunburned newbie. So I'm going to start with the MAC Cosmetics BB cream. How do I know this much about makeup? That's the real, you know, which will give her a nice rounded base. And then if you could just, someone could just lower her arm there. It's very, you could just actually just hang your coat on that there. Then we're going to use the Deluxe paint. You get this any home store or more, or Woody's. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean, mattress? I mean, Mystery
Mick.
We
always know what you mean.
Yeah, okay, steady on. Steady on.
To be honest, I didn't want to interrupt. You were gone there, but you have a suspicious knowledge of makeup.
A suspicious knowledge of funerals. I just don't understand. It is the most bizarre flex ever. Do you see Nana there? Yeah, she looks like she's been done with Homer Simpson's makeup gun. That was me. Like, you're not going to get more out of the will for doing your Nana's makeup after she's dead. Do it now when she's still alive. Let's go.
I think it was about 2004, and myself and my friend were friends with a few girls from school, and we used to meet up outside of school and whatever, walk around and whatever teenagers to be at, I don't know. So we had arranged to meet one of our friends one of the days, and I think next thing she was late or something like that, and she arrived out of breath to meet us, and she says, "Girls, oh my God, I'm waiting to tell you what's after happening. I was walking down from my house." Now, bear in mind, she lived in a really good area of the town to begin with, and this was like 20 years ago, and like it was daylight. And she said that on her way to meet us, which would have been about a 4 minute journey from her house to like a shop to meet us, she had been accosted by three men, and they had like tried to grab her. I can't remember if it was like kidnap or if they had a car or what, but they had tried to grab her and kind of pull her or whatever, I don't know. So anyway, she had saved herself by doing a somersault in the air / backflip and loads of ninja high kicks, and had basically Jackie Chan'd three grown men. Bear in mind, she was like an average 16 or 17 year old girl of slight build. So we were actually just at the stage where we were like, do you think we're that stupid that we believe you? Do you know when you're kind of, you know, when you're not 9 or 10 anymore and you stop believing all these mad things that people come out with? So that was grand. And there was a couple of other things that she would randomly lie about as well. Can't quite remember them now, but we did give her the nickname behind her back, of course, of Eliza.
Okay, unbelievable story, but you really disappointed me with the nickname.
Terrible.
Eliza. I was thinking more Sarah Martial Arts.
Oh.
Not bad.
Big.
Karate Kathy would have been another one. Let's get into this. Somersault in the air and the backflip. Good stuff. Just defying the laws of gravity entirely, you know. Just the somersault in the air and then followed by the backflip, Simone Biles. She'd be hospitalised for even attempting that. This is a classic teenage lie.
I don't think I can criticise this woman, because not only have I told this lie,
yeah,
I constantly think about still telling this lie.
It's it's a very sophisticated form of attempted kidnapping in Ireland. I love the way she says, by the way, back 20 years ago, back when there was no problems in Ireland. There's an undercurrent there. I'm wondering, what's that about? Let's unearth that truth. Do you know what I mean? But no, okay, back 20 years ago, just the three armed, masked men trying to kidnap you. It was a very common fear, though, growing up in Ireland.
Oh, totally. The man in the white van was a constant threat.
So I, weirdly enough, I was thinking about this. Somebody tried to get me into their car.
Really?
With a friend of mine. We were coming home from the golf club. We were like, you know when you're like 7 and you're coming home from the golf club? But we were coming home from the golf club, and this man, we were like 7 or 8. We'd done like some golf summer camp for a day. Me and my Slipknot hoodie getting slagged by the little golf games. Do you know what I mean? Hey, Fatso, good luck. I've got a driver in my hands. Nevertheless, we're walking down through Leopardstown, and this guy pulls over and is like, "Hey, you boys need a hand with those bags," because we have the golf bags on our back. And we were like, "Yeah, no, we're grand." He's like, "They're looking awfully heavy on your shoulders." Genuinely. So.
Really?
They were all masks. He was wearing a mask as well.
There were three of them.
So I simply started ninja. She says, "High ninja high kicks." Like, that sounds like a dance move. Michael Flatley in his movie. Jevers, have you
no.
seen?
No.
Michael Flatley self-funded a movie. But he said it's not a vanity project. He self-funded a movie starring Michael Flatley, written by Michael Flatley, produced by Michael Flatley, and directed by Michael Flatley. And it features a scene. He's a sort of James Bond type character.
Naturally, yeah.
But it features a scene where he's surrounded by villains and he Irish dances his way out of the scenario. Which is, by the way, that's the obvious choice. If I was surrounded by Swiss villains, what are we going to do? It's Jacko 3 and Marco 3. Let's fucking go. Do you know what I mean? Like... Were you ever kidnapped?
No, I definitely told this lie though, and I definitely had a lot of close calls.
What would you say the most frequent lie young Irish men make? You see, Michael, you're from Terenure, so that area. So it's generally like my cousin's kickboxing champion of Ireland. That's the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Teenage lads, the most common lie is sexual situations, sporting prowess.
It's always the girl who you got with on holiday.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't have MSN or Bebo or...
Are you a frigid? That was the worst thing ever. Are you a frigid?
No! Who said that?
Nevertheless, only that.
Hi guys, so I worked in a bar in Cork, and we had one lad who drank there. His nickname was literally John the Liar. And he'd normally come in 8, 9 o'clock, but he came in early this night, anyway, 6 or 7, and we're all kind of a bit surprised. Geez, John, you're in early. Yeah, yeah, he was... starting a new job in the morning, so he was telling us all about the job, and it was for Cuisine de France. So, and we were all delighted for him, well done, brilliant. And about an hour or so later, anyway, he just jumped up out of the seat, like, right, I'm hitting the road there, guys. to be up early in the morning to deliver those baguettes to France. So he was trying to convince us all that he was actually driving to France to deliver the baguettes. Mad bastard.
John the Lawyer. Who are the creative brains behind that nickname? Did you have the A4 pads out, lads?
Incredible. I want to know what lies he told in the build-up to get that moniker.
The Cuisine de France as well. Why is Cuisine de France playing such a huge role in the podcast at the moment?
I like the returning role that it's getting, but baguettes to France, like, it's hardly... Do some background research.
Yeah. Just off to sell ice to the Eskimos. Do you know, actually... Sorry. This is a complete aside. I was in Dunleary yesterday, my beloved Kingstown, okay? We went to lunch, and I'm not going to name and shame the place because I know name and shaming is very uncool. But we're having lunch, and as part of the Sunday entertainment they had arranged in this place, they sent a magician around the tables.
Oh no.
I just fucking can't with magicians. My barometer, my tolerance level for magicians is, I wouldn't say it an all-time low. It's just always been low. For all time, it has always been low and non-existent. And you know the worst thing is, so this guy, he goes around from table to table and I know he's coming. Because each time he does the same routine and everyone goes, ha, 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 and everyone gets all giddy. And
oh, it's brilliant.
It's white people just get so, oh, isn't this brilliant? We're out and we're being entertained. It's Miriam's birthday. Oh, we're all out. And they all love it so much. And they're laughing at the banter. The banter is that sort of toxic, like, it's like a lot, it's magician banter. I feel like tour guides have the banter as well, where it's like really, it's designed for absolutely everybody, but it's also rooted in sexual desperation as well. It's needy. Laugh at me, you know? Anyway, this guy's going from table to table and I'm just not interested. We're trying to have a plan. We're having lunch and we're making a plan for the week, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes over and there's four of us sitting at the table and he goes around and, what's your name? You know, blah, 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 and does it. He gets the polite laugh. And then he looks at me, right? And he goes, oh, he's Mr. Cynical, isn't he? I was like, sorry. And he points at somebody else at me, you know, yeah. Excuse me?
Sorry. Go on, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt you, please.
Kitty's got claws. Someone's getting confident and we're only through the first round.
I've stopped sweating, so I'm fine.
Nevertheless, he goes, he's very cynical. And he goes, he doesn't believe it. And I was like, sorry. And he's like, you obviously don't believe in magic. I was like, well, like, of course I don't believe it, man. Like, of course I don't believe that this is actually magic. Of course I don't think that we're out for dinner in Dunleary of a Sunday afternoon and the inventor of fucking mind reading is wearing a purple waistcoat that he obviously had from a Prince Halloween costume lying at home. If you had invented mind reading, why would you be flitting around going from table to table like a infuriating wasp at a picnic in the Dublin suburbs on a Sunday, asking people to pick a card, any card, and then write down the name of their childhood friend in the back? I just don't like magicians. I just do not get it. I just don't find it funny.
I'm completely with you.
Okay.
I'm completely with you.
Good stuff. Let's go. John the Liar, God loves a trier. Oliver.
So my granny is 8 years of age and for as long as I can remember, she has always been the biggest compulsive liar. And recently I was staying in her house and I had really bad period cramps. So I asked her if she had any painkillers. So I was just like, granny, I have awful period pain. Like, do you keep painkillers? And she was like, oh, she's actually Scottish. And she was like, oh, I still get that. And I was like, cramps? Like, and she was like, yeah. She was like, I'm still getting my period. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm awful at a Scottish accent. And I was like, what? I was like, surely not. And she was like, yeah, I'm still going through the change. As in menopause. I'd say she went through menopause 40 years ago. Like, bullshit.
There are Colombian minefields. Colombian? Oh, fuck. That is so embarrassing. What is it? How have I forgotten? What is it?
Colombian minefield?
No, it's not Colombia. Oh, my God. It begins with a C. Not Vietnamese.
I don't know where you're going.
Where is beside Vietnam and there's all the mines?
Cambodian.
Cambodian. That is Mr. Geography over here. Okay. There are Cambodian minefields in which I would traverse less delicately than I would the subject of women having periods, okay? Yeah. So let's just be very clear. If there's one thing that I've never professed, nor will I ever to profess to be an expert on, it's menopause, okay? And like, I'm also not going to start roasting the physical mechanics of an 8-year-old woman's undercarriage and pin my flag to any form of mast, be it menopausal, vaginal, or otherwise, okay? Your Scottish impression is about as accurate as my Molly May impression. I want to go to the island. Take me to Love Island. I am a vlogger. I want to do the fashion brand. My name is Molly May. I want to release the blazers and the white jeans for the young girls and Generation Z to make them look like bank accounts. Tints, I mean. I sell the clothing online. It's like a mix between Anina Bing and Mr. Bean. I want to go to Love Island. So that's just my Molly May there. More sort of after sun though, isn't it? I'm sorry that your nana's on the jam. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast of compulsive liars. And I hope you're enjoying my impulsive trier guest today, which is Mystery Mick. Mystery Mick just asked me a question there. Ask me again, Michael.
I asked Mark on our break, I just asked if you get the adrenaline jitters.
My life is just a series of variations of jitters. Yes, I suffer from the adrenaline jitters, but I also suffer from the caffeine jitters, the Monday jitters, the Tuesday, the thirst jitters, the hunger jitters, the existential jitters, the sexual jitters. There is never, I never exist in a jitter-free zone. Do you know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Nevertheless, I'm Claudia Schiffer. No, I was trying to think of a jitter. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast, Compulsive Liars. If you enjoy the show, you know what to do. Please send me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark. If you have suggestions for future roasts, send them to me on Instagram at Megan Mark. And most importantly of all, if you enjoy the show and you feel somehow indebted to me because you've been provided a light bit of respite from the suffocating, crushing mundanity that is our collective existence, and you want to show your appreciation, forward the show to a friend of yours. Tell them to listen to it. Let's get into it, will we? Yeah, let's go.
So, yeah, I was working there. It was only about 10 years ago. And this fella just lied about absolutely everything. Absolute spoofer. So one day he comes in, right down at our break, having a bit of coffee or whatever. And he turns around and says, oh, I was at this funeral the other day. And there was a fella that was in the IRA. We were like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you even know anyone that's in the IRA? What are you on about, like? Then he turns around and says, yeah, they did a gun salute. 21 soldiers shot at the coffin. We were looking at him like, what the fuck are you on? Like, he just lies about absolutely everything, thinking that we believe it, you know?
Surely, like, I'm no expert in the IRA, okay? I've always said that publicly. I've made that very clear, by the way. Surely one of the rules about joining the IRA is that you don't go around telling people that you're in the IRA.
No, absolutely not.
Like, they wouldn't be renowned for, as an organisation, they wouldn't be renowned for their transparency. It's not like an open door policy like, you know, UNESCO. Do you know what I mean? Come in and spend a day with the IRA. Do you know what I mean?
Come to the RA open day.
It's the RA open day. A bit of grow. Come fech, er an IRA. I don't know why it's all in bad Irish. Do you know what I mean? Come down to the IRA open day. Free Balliers on entry. You'll be weak at the knees at some of the sites. Brilliant. Just like...
That's cheap.
That is cheap and sheer. I never would have made it in the IRA, let's be honest. I would have been awful. Firstly, I can't hold my piss. If I have good news, if I have bad news, I cannot keep it a secret. So if I got into the IRA, right, I would have been walked out, Mum, you'll never guess. I'm in the IRA. Gone. That's me shooting her out of excitement. Mum lying on the floor. I'm so proud of you. I know you never went to uni, but like, I just, also, even if it was the original IRA, like back in the rebellion, I would have hated, you know, like Michael Collins here and stuff. I want everybody in this room now. I want everybody. No, you can't.
I was like.
We are going to go to the GPO. I want every man and child from this local village. You can have a holy. If you do not have a rifle, you can have a holy. And you are going to the GPO. We are going to get the British. You can't. Eman de Valera. And the rest of the people. Oh, fuck. Michael.
I mean.
My name is Michael Collins. I do not. Britain's mistake is Alice's opportunity, and I have always said that. Molly May, Michael Collins, that's a real, like, comedians who do impressions. Oh, what would Al Pacino do if he was working in a car wash and Cameron Diaz came in with me, Michael D. Higgins? No, I'm less impressed by the impressions. Why are those three people together in a fucking car wash? Explain to me the universe where Cam Diaz is coming in with Michael D. Higgins.
I mean, you've named my business here, so I'm just not getting involved in this bit. I'm sitting back and on you, mate.
Oh, fuck. Let's go.
So my ex from a very long time ago, who shall remain nameless, was the king of lying and leading the double life. He would have multiple Instagram accounts so he could have different girlfriends and would post photos of the two of them together. And then when I'd find out, he'd just delete the original one. It was obviously me and him, that page. So it looked like we were never together. And then I was insane for even saying that. Just to bear in mind, we lived together 5 years at the time. But anyway, after we broke up and I realised all the lies, I decided it's time to start dating again. I'm not sure how he found out, but the day I went to go for dinner with the new guy, he had spent the morning setting up a fake nail and beauty page. And the guy messaged me probably like about an hour before the date saying, "I think your ex is messaging me through a fake page, and that there's this nail page sending me threats all day to leave you alone." I'm not sure why, but the guy still took me out for dinner, and my ex denied it when his new girlfriend at the time found out. He told her it was me who set up the fake page to frame him. This is one of the many bizarre situations he caused from lying. I'm so happy now that I can laugh about it. I'm sure he's still out there somewhere harassing some poor guy on another random nail and beauty page.
Jesus Christ.
This is utterly insane.
Yeah.
Well, I struggle with this. This isn't fun lying either. Like, this is mean-spirited.
Yeah. What would you consider a fun lie to be?
I beat up three men on the way to me.
I thought you were... Oh, my God. Yeah, like, this is the thing with some of these lies. And this isn't necessarily the conversation for the Weekly Roast, but I think it raises an interesting question about empathy, right? Okay. Because the person, this guy, firstly, to our caller, I am so sorry that you had this experience, and I can't imagine how traumatizing that was after living with somebody for 5 years. I hope you have gotten the help that you need and are working through it, and, you know, I wish you all the best. Now, let's collectively sort of deride his lunacy. It's completely cracked. Like, I've always said, the moment you set up an anonymous social media account to be negative to the world, gone.
You've
gone. Absolutely. If you have negativity, by all means, put your name to it. Do you know what I mean? But if you were setting up, like, I've gotten a couple of mad anonymous messages in the last few years, and it's like, oh my God, you think that you, like, you have a dog. You're not in life. You're not even in the arena. You're not playing the game. You are on the fucking sidelines watching other people live, and you're commenting, like, you don't have the balls to be yourself. You failed.
It's a different sport.
You've completely failed. Yeah. But the person, say your man, setting up the fake nails. Sal, what are you laughing at?
No, nothing.
I'm not going to.
I know.
There is no way. Our executive producer who's in the room is looking at me as if to suggest.
Don't you.
You watch it, sunshine. The ice is thinner than the layer of a forgotten yogurt that you're waltzing on now, Chief. So steady on. No way.
Where do you go?
But like, the line of empathy versus, okay, so somebody who's behaving like that, this guy, is clearly mentally ill and he needs help himself, but you can be both mentally ill and still be taken, held responsible for your actions. And I think Kanye is the greatest example of that. Like, Kanye, as most listeners will know, Kanye was my hero. I think he was the greatest artist of our generation. Conversely, or whatever the opposite of that is, of course, I think everything that he has said and done in probably the better part of a decade is repulsive and abhorrent and disgraceful, and he shouldn't be given a platform, and there's so many problems there, and untreated mental illness is seriously hard to watch. But it's like, you can't just have empathy because he's coming out and selling fucking horrific paraphernalia on his website. So that he deserves to be held responsible for that, but he also deserves to be treated for his lunacy. Back to this guy with the nails, like, yes, you clearly have some issues, mate, but you are harassing people and you are disrupting the flow of other people's lives. Thus, that's an issue.
What I don't get as well is, like, it's a lot of admin. It's a lot of effort. Why bother? What's the outcome? You know, if you break up with someone, regardless of the circumstances, let them move on with their life. You do you, let them do them.
Mm.
What's he getting out of that?
I've just looked at Michael's nails and I've seen there's a lovely shellac. Motherfucker. Let's go.
Yeah, so a girl who was in my secondary school had some absolute howlers when it came to lies, but the one that I'll always remember is she said she babysat Sonia O'Sullivan's kids and that a few times when Sonia didn't have enough cash to pay her, she paid her with her medals.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I adore this person. This is incredible.
This is the greatest thing that I've ever, in the history of the podcast. The idea of Sonia O'Sullivan, who, for those of you unfamiliar, Sonia O'Sullivan is, you know, for our out of Irish listeners, Sonia O'Sullivan is one of the greatest Irish athletes of all time. Like, hands down, Olympian, absolute legend, legend of the sport. I say that as if I'm in any way involved in that sport or others, but a legend of the sport. And the idea of Sonia O'Sullivan coming home from dinner in like a green singlet, do you know what I mean? Panting and out of breath because assumably she would have just ran the
just off the track,
you know, she just would have ran the 13 kilometers home, you know, down along the Glanmire Road in Cork. Does she live in Cork? You know, pleading with the babysitter to understand, you know, it's just there's no pockets on these green shorts, so that's why I have no cash. Do you know what I mean? Like, as if what sort of stern ass and unflexible babysitter is going to be like, I've had it with you, Sonia, I'm going to need something else, I'm going to fucking need it now, okay? Not this bullshit about not having the card. You know, Sonia's there on the doorstep using her number bib to wipe the tears from her eyes. Do you know what I mean? As she pleadingly looks at the babysitter, you know, oh, I'll just go upstairs and see if I can, you know. She goes upstairs, comes down in her tinfoil dressing gown that she got just to remind her of her former victories. And she lets the tassel of the dressing gown just open up. Do you know what I mean? And just looks down and the gold shine from one of her Olympic medals shines out because she hasn't wed. And she just goes,
maybe there's some way we can come to another form of arrangement.
The babysitter's like, Sonia, this is worse than I went to Paula Radcliffe's house and she did the dirty protest because I didn't get a lift home. This is fucking, as you might say, my boy, derangement levels. I'm so sorry, Sonia. Let's go.
Years ago, I was going out with this guy and I was very suspicious that he was cheating on me at the time, so I had a little snoop around his stuff and lo and behold I found this box of condoms and looked inside, only to my surprise to see that I actually feel sick saying this, they had all been used, which was very concerning. So I confronted him about it and straight away, he just replies, oh, I use them on myself. Like, it's a, it's like a thing. And like, it's just, I can't even say, like, he basically said that, it was more hygienic to look after himself that way. If that makes sense. So, yeah, that was an interesting one. I don't think that's a thing, but maybe you could clarify.
It's not a thing. And the heavy breathing at the end as well. Like, good God. Good God, all of this.
I'm really sorry, but it is a thing.
What? Go on.
It's awful, and she clearly got cheated on, but that's a thing. That's called a posh wank.
What, when you store, you have some sort of contaminated or a container?
Not when you store, but when you use a condom for self-pleasure, that's a posh wank.
Okay, let's just be very clear. I am less concerned with what needs to take place in order for a condom to be filled. It's the storage that I have an issue with. It's, do you know what I mean? It's the lack of it's like having this selection of sort of, you know, test tubes filled with petty faloo beneath your bed. It's absolutely insane. The visceral perversion of having like growing semen trees, a forest of... Oh.
I have no idea why I'm defending this guy, dirtbag, but she asks, is it a thing? It's a thing.
Okay, so it's a thing that... I do remember that as a lad.
Yeah.
people saying posh wanks, and I remember thinking, like, what the hell is this going to be like? And I genuinely remember trying it and be like, good luck.
Awful.
We're not going to descend and devolve into that. But
no,
like,
it's the inventory of them is the...
Like the world's worst type of advent calendar. Oh. That's it. It's a ladvent calendar. Something that Dapper Laughs would have done a bit on in 2007. Do you know, just like, oh my God, it's all so wrong. You needed to break up with the guy, whether the cheating or loyal or disloyal. No, you dodged a bullet.
A massive bullet.
Let's move on before I throw up.
So when I was 15, my mum sadly passed away in a car accident, and was desperately sad. But a few months later, the community decided to throw a memorial, a fundraising night for her. And myself and my brothers decided to go, and some of our friends came to support us as well. And while we were there, one of my friends at the time got a phone call from her dad to say that her sister had been in a really bad accident and that she was being rushed to hospital. And she was distraught, and obviously we were horrified as well. And I had offered to ring family members to bring her to the hospital to her sister. And she said she just couldn't go. She just didn't want to be there. She was too shaken up. So throughout the night then, she kept getting these phone calls and updates from her dad. Each one was worse than the last. And it was awful, absolutely awful. And we went home. We were completely like drained. It just felt terrible. And my nan was at home and she hadn't gone. She just didn't want to go. And she had gone to her local bar that night just with some friends. And my nan was asking me, how did it go? And I was like, it was awful. I was like, this person's sister was in a terrible car accident and they don't think she's going to make it. And it was just awful. And my nan was like, that's really weird. Her dad was sitting at the bar all night. He didn't leave the stool. She had made the whole story up at the fundraiser for my mum, who had passed away in a car accident, just decided to make up this whole story because she clearly wasn't getting enough attention. And just to include, this girl, this same girl, was at my house a few months before while my mum was still alive, and we were at the house and she was dancing to C'est la vie from Bewitched, and she stood on my kitten and the kitten ended up dying. It was literally on the couch and just was like belly swollen. We brought it to the vet and the vet was like, you know, we'll see how it gets on the next few days, but it's very, very unwell or whatever. And the kitten ended up having to be put down. Yeah, so every time I hear C'est la vie, I just think of this poor kitten squashed. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh my God. Right, well look, we'll get to the kitten in a second because that is absolutely me outrageous. But I will begin by saying, firstly, my deepest condolences on the passing of your mother, of course, tragically, at the age of 15. I cannot fathom, similar to that previous person, I cannot fathom the grief, but nor can I articulate adequately just how much of a testament it is to the work you must have done to be able to participate in a podcast like this, surrounding an event that is so horrendously, unimaginably sad. So, yeah, our thoughts, everybody from the Weekly Roast is wishing you well and fair play. We'll get back to the squash pussy in a second.
No.
Anyway.
Absolutely not.
Mick, you need to get that mattress. What's under your mattresses, Mick?
I mean, there was a nice moment.
Smells like PVA glue. anyway, this person, this individual coming to the month's mind or the community, like, you know, the whole community rallying around and trying, like, that's fucking mental. That is mental.
I just don't get, again, what the outcome is. What are you looking to achieve here?
That is
so unnecessarily hurtful.
But is it just the short-term attention? It's like with people who catfish and all the rest. Is it just that they thrive off any bit of attention? So they will go for, they'll go to any length to get us, to get a bit of acknowledgement or something. Like, is that so short-lived? They live in this town that's clearly, you know, a really close-knit community, clannish in the best possible way. They pool together, they lean on each other through difficult times. And then she comes out with this lie that will absolutely, there's no question, will be found out to be a lie.
That's a friendship ender. But like, how can you walk through that town the next day?
Well, you're standing on the necks of cats by the sounds of things. Fucking loon ass. Absolute Loonville, Tennessee. I mean, then we get to the cat thing, and apparently the studies show that the big sign of psychopaths is if they harm animals as kids.
Really?
That's one of the biggest signs, is that if they harm animals growing up, that they are like, there's obviously, you are devoid of empathy in a certain regard. So, yeah, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, there's nothing, nothing to positive to be said from that. That is just so, so utterly horrific.
Yeah, me outrageous again. Oh, guys, I hope you are enjoying the weekly roast, the episode on compulsive liars. Dare I say it, this has been my favourite episode for quite some time. I am absolutely flabbergasted at some of the contributions we've received, and there is still a bit to go. Most importantly, we do have a double contribution, a part one and part two. Lots of people were interested about this person on Instagram, wherein a family got in touch to say that their brother is such a consistent and pathological liar that the family actually set up their own WhatsApp group without the brother in it in order to discuss his lies and then submit a number of them to the podcast. So we've got two of his, and we're going to finish on a high. As I say always, thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying the show, share it with a friend. Follow me on Instagram at Megan Mark. I am an egomaniac with massively insecure at the same time. So send me a message to let me know if you've enjoyed the podcast this week. And we look forward to seeing you soon. I don't know why I'm signing off. We've still got a lot to go. Let's get into it. I'm here with Michael, mattress or otherwise, Mystery Michael, Mick. Let's go.
So I was in college with a girl who was a compulsive liar, and one day she told us that she was incredibly anxious flying, but that her last flight was okay because the pilot had allowed her into the cockpit and to have a cigarette out the window of the plane mid-flight.
Good stuff.
I mean, let's be honest, the absolute dream.
Like, that's how Amelia Earhart went down in the end. She tried to have a fucking Marlboro Light out of the Spitfire coming over the Atlantic. She wanted to get an Insta story of the Marlboro Light out the window of the Spitfire flying over the Atlantic Ocean with Sunset Lover by Petty Biscuit going over the top. And then bang, gone. That's the end of Amelia. So, do you know, even the word, this whole scene actually sounds like it's been taken from porn. You know, anxious flyer sitting there, pilot comes in the thing, we're going over the Babes Bay now, so if anyone's nervous, just come on into the cockpit. Cockpit's a sexual enough word.
Very much so.
Cockpit sounds like a play area in a gay sex club in Berlin. Yeah, you're welcome to join. My name is Hans. In on the right, we've got the cockpit. Make sure to use your hands in the cockpit. It sounds like
a pit of cock.
A sandbox filled with phalluses. The dream, if that's your thing. Nevertheless.
So I meant the cigarette, not the cockpit.
I mean, I just smoke. You didn't. That's the thing with these liars. Why not just say you had the smoke? You didn't roll the window down.
No.
People's lies, much like Katrina Carey and DJ, their lies outweigh their stupidity. Or what's the word I'm looking for here? Their stupidity is on par with their brazenness.
Absolutely.
So the lies that they go for, I mean, obviously, look, people all messaged in yesterday about your man shoving the Apple charger up his nose. The iPhone charger. Like, outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
This is why when you get to a certain peak, just retire and fade into obscurity. Don't hang around.
Just rest on your laurels. Know when to fold them, like. Good God. Yeah, you didn't you didn't have a smoke in a flight. Were you ever around for smoking on airplanes?
No, unfortunately not. I would have enjoyed that.
I used to smoke vapes on flights in the Jacks.
Really?
Yeah.
Bold.
So, let's go.
Okay, so between kind of deciding what's suitable for the show and then what just isn't totally compulsive liars that just relate to family situations, we've kind of narrowed it down to two that we think are particularly impressive. And just to preface this as well, like, there's no actual contextual issue with the brother in question or anything. There's no reason, what I'm saying, is for his lies. Like, so just in case people think that we, you know, we have somebody in the family who maybe have a learning difficulty or something like that, that's not the case. No rationale, no reason. Boredom is what we have it pinned down to. So we'll go with two of the finest. And the first one of those being that he claimed he was driving between two towns in County Kerry at 5 a.m. one morning, despite the fact that he doesn't have a job, so wasn't working at the time. He's driving between these two towns and he came across an accident on the road, and it was a high-powered Range Rover that had crashed into a speed van. And he said he got out, first on the scene, he got out, and then it turned out that it was a very high-profile Irish businessman who remained nameless that was driving the Range Rover, and there was also a woman in her car that might have been impacted, and she was out as well, and people were like a bit disorientated. In the meantime, he reckons the driver of the Range Rover got out, who's this high-profile businessman. He had been drink driving, and when he realized that he was in trouble, he made a phone call, and within 5 minutes before the guards were on the scene, a helicopter landed in the field, and this guy jumped in and evaded the guards, the accident, everything. But yet, there was no mention of this on news, media, anything like that.
Unbelievable. Okay, so that's part one of the brother. What are your thoughts off the bat?
This genuinely enrages me. It's so utterly careless in how it's been concocted. I mean,
what do you mean? Like,
well, like, okay, what's the one defining characteristic of a speed van? A fucking camera. Like, he's got, like, no part of this lie makes any sense. Also, reg plates are a thing. Like,
by the way, these very rural Kerry roads, busy enough at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It seems to be peak traffic in between Killorglin and, you know, in certain other Kerry town. Like,
McCroom.
What?
Oh, McCroom.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Micheál and Muir Hertig, like, do you know what I mean? Like, all right.
A break, Mark.
Tom Crean. Just trying to think of famous Kerry people. Yeah. All right, the cars. Walking on cars, rather. All right. Fassbender.
Oh.
Is he?
No, he's Cork.
I think he's Kerry.
Really?
Speaking of which, by the way, the cockpit. No. Fassbender, haven't seen him in ages.
No?
No.
No.
He hasn't been in... I would have thought he sort of receded a little bit into the Hollywood wilderness.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Nowhere. It's just a thought, Michael. Sometimes, Michael, when people have thoughts, sometimes they articulate them.
Interesting.
Not everything needs to be contrived to appeal to the modern ear. Nevertheless, this wealthy businessman is hurtling through the Kerry, the gorgeous golden hills of green and golden hills of Kerry, the kingdom, as they rarely say themselves. Hurtling through the kingdom, he crashes into a speed, of all the things to crash into, of course, the speed van, which is, what a disaster that is. He can't get Michael Flatley to Irish dance him out of this scenario, so he calls on speed, and then, sorry, there's another woman there who's also been affected by the crash, and as the guy says, they're all just walking around in a daze, like me, day one of acting class. Like, man, I am so bad at acting.
Really?
I got asked to audition for The Dry.
Really? I didn't.
To say don't release the tapes. I beg of you, Louise Kylie Casting. Don't, they've asked me to audition for like four things. I've never gotten a call back. Never. I am so bad at acting. As soon as I have to do anything that's not me, I'm done. It was like, okay, so we want you to play this South Dublin guy. Day one, he's just in recovery. He's a South, you know, he's a blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I want that band.
No.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No, but anyway, so your man's gotten out of the scene by holding on to a helicopter. Yeah, good luck. It didn't happen. Of course it didn't happen. And
what happened to her as well?
Oh, she was just dazed. Yeah. She was so dazed that eventually she just got back in her car and thought, oh, I must have imagined all of that. And off she goes. However, I will say, you would wonder about the amount of shit that's happened with high profile people where they have just gotten somebody to arrive on scene, clean up, and good luck.
Oh, totally. But like,
not naming any names.
No, of course not. Never. Never. No.
Okay, let's go.
Second one being, and just for context with this one, this brother was about 27, 28 stone at the time of this and wasn't very physically active. He was staying in Dingle in County Kerry for a weekend, and he told us that he went out for a stroll on Sunday morning, and that he was just like walking and walking, and he didn't really realise at the time. And then before he sort of realised, he'd accidentally climbed the McGillicuddy Reeks. Now, such a feat, a physical feat. He didn't stop there with that. At the top, he sat down to take a rest on a rock, as you do, on top of one of the highest mountain ranges in Ireland. And there, while he was taking a rest, he got talking to this man, and he knew the accent was distinctive. And then he looked at him, and he realised, when he looked quite closely, that was actually Micheál Ó Muirchertach, the sports commentator. So, yeah, they strolled down together, and then they, like, briefly exchanged goodbyes and left, and that was the end of that. Yeah, that's about it in terms of, like, suitability for the show. That's about all we could share. But yeah, definitely its own genre of compulsive lies.
It's just so completely insane. And then they stroll down. They just stroll down Ireland's highest peak.
Accidentally found his way up there.
So this guy, okay, so she opens up, he's 27, 28 stone, so she said he doesn't do a lot of activity. He just went out around Kerry, walking and walking and walking, accidentally scales the McGillicuddy Reeks.
Found himself summiting the hardest thing to do in Ireland.
Karen Toohill doesn't notice the signs, doesn't notice the change in terrain, doesn't notice the air getting colder.
The snow-capped mountains.
Do you know what I mean? Doesn't notice the oxygen tank that he assumingly needs once he gets to the car park if he's not familiar with exercising.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the top, and then the creme on top of the cake of de rangement that is this story is gets talking to a fella, right? And then recognizes the accent, and only then does he look at him. Only then does he look at him. So he gets to the top of this peak, he summits the mountain, and he just stares at the floor. Yeah, how are you getting on there? How are you doing? Yeah, not staring at you, not looking as if the guy's changing or something. She avoids eye contact, and then only eventually, oh, you're Micheál Ó Muirchertach. Do you fancy putting our arms around each other and strolling down the highest peak in Ireland? Outrageous. Let's go.
Let's go.
One of the lads, he used to work in a really, really busy, popular pub in town, particularly with tourists. And he was working a private function for retired firemen and their families from Chicago. About 40, maybe 50 of them, told him he was an orphan, working three jobs, including the pub, to pay for college, studying to be a dentist. Done this quite often to get extra tips, but the tip that this group like gave in particular was rather outrageous, about a grand, and nowhere near studying a dentist, probably got like nowhere near the points in his leaving cert to do that. Just complete and utter lies. Lovely fella though.
Working as an orphan doing three jobs a week in a smoky bar filled with 40 firemen. You've just described a Bruce Springsteen song. The scene of every single Bruce. Working by the bar just to try and pay rent. Got 50 firemen all coming over here. Do you know what I mean? Bruce, we get it. You wear denim jeans, Bruce. You've been working on the yard. We get it. Bruce, you work in a factory and you've had a hard day's work and you want to come home. You're hoping that your wife, your love, will be waiting for you when you get home. You've had a tough all week, but you've got money in your pocket and you want to have the, hey, baby girl, is your daddy home? Yes, Bruce. He's upstairs. Why have you asked like, do you know what I mean? Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Yeah, he is. He's upstairs. He's looking out the window at you, Bruce. So
I don't know where to go with that.
Oh, I'm on fire. Let's go.
So years ago, the girl we went to secondary school with was engaged to a guy, had a house, all that kind of stuff. And the fiance came home from work one day and caught her riding her co-worker. And the excuse she used when he caught her was that she had breast cancer and it's how she coped with it. So I'm happy to report that she didn't actually have breast cancer. She's just a liar. And she's very healthy and very much not with that man, as you can imagine.
Like, that's almost as unforgivable as me saying I used to drink to help cope with my genius. You are a spoofer and a fraud. And you're trying to subvert the game of life to suit yourself. like, that is just outrageous. The cheating, the deceit, and then the immediate reaching for the most, you know, sympathy inducing, like, that is just...
That's the one thing you can call upon that just takes everything away.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, yeah. That is just, like...
That's the game. It's certainly not. Oh,
Mystery Mick, you've revealed yourself.
Look.
Nevertheless. Thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast, guys. I hugely, hugely appreciate it. I really hope you enjoyed the introduction of Mystery Mick. I'm really, really grateful for him coming in today.
Thank you, Mark.
Guys, hope you're doing well. If you enjoy the show, let me know. Shoot me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark. If you like listening to the podcast, send it to a friend. That really helps us grow. And yeah, have a great week. Mind yourselves. Speak to you soon. All the best. Take care. Bye.
Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Have a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist about Cialis for Men. 10 milligram film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil. Now available without prescription in pharmacies nationwide. Find out more at www.cialisformen.ie. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label.